mum's the word. But we're telling everyone. It's BOGO 50% off time at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Just in time for Mother's Day, buy any pair of shoes, get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Treat mom or yourself to the perfect spring styles from must-own brands. And hurry. Unlike a mother's love, this deal won't last forever. So make mom proud and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning, 97-1.
Going yard.
Grand
slam.
Bam. In a two-strike count? Who's that guy? It just might be our year, guys. One thing at a time. Good morning, 97-1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, and you heard Dustin Fiocco on the updates. John, last night.
Yeah, I'll give you the update. It was awesome. It was a great night. We went downtown, had dinner, walked over to Ford Field, and people got downtown early yesterday for this show. When we parked, and we parked, you know, closer to downtown, and not one of the parking garages by Comerica or anything, and there were people tailgating as early as like 5 o'clock, getting ready for, you know, AC/DC didn't come on until about 8:30. And it was a great vibe in the city last night. Went to dinner, walked over there, and the show that these guys put on it's unbelievable. The amount of energy that these two dudes can generate at their age. Now,
70s?
Yeah, 70 to mid-70s. I am amazed that they can do what they do at that age with that level of energy, going, you know, two and a half hours straight through, rocking and rolling. It was awesome. The place was just the energy in there when they hit Thunderstruck. I went bonkers. It was unbelievable. Yeah, it sounded better last night. but it was awesome. It was great. It was loud. It was everything that you would want an AC/DC concert to be. I checked that one off my bucket list, and I was so excited last night.
You're still ringing a little bit?
No. We were there with some people. We went out to get a restroom break, kind of mid show, whatever.
Okay.
And you know the people that we met up with, they were, you know, oh, my ears are ringing. I mentioned it to my wife yesterday on the way back, and because somebody had mentioned, oh, I wish I had some earplugs. She said, if we ever go to a concert and we take earplugs, we're way too old and we need to stop going to concerts. Like, if you're a toddler, I get it. If you are a geriatric, I guess I can understand that.
Heather's shaking her head, and I'm with you, Heather.
Yeah, protect those ears, John. They're the only ones you got. I mean, I get
what
it. I probably wouldn't have them with. I've never worn earplugs to a concert in my life. However, if you were like right up there, I'm just saying, I have no shame if you want to do it. Like, I wouldn't make fun
Heather,
of you if you did. That's all I'm saying.
I would. And you have now entered the old category. You have now entered the old category. If that's your mindset.
I wear helmets, earplugs, sunscreen, I don't care. I'm taking care of myself. Yeah.
You are in the same category as Doug Karsh.
That's right. I don't care.
No, it would have. I can't even imagine. But as I mentioned,
John, this was a photo of me at the Green Day concert. What is around my neck?
Oh, you're such a. You know what though? It doesn't.
What? What'd you have?
He's got earbuds.
We were close to the stage. I wanted the option to wear them
on a tether around his neck.
That's a little lame, but. You know,
well, does anybody think I'm a big time rocker? I'm not worried about hurting my image in that department. I want to be able to hear. It's kind of a critical part of our job.
Then
I want to be able to hear.
Then don't go.
I loved going. I'm
There's
happy
so
I
many
went.
Words and ways I could describe
I know,
you right
and,
now.
And a lot of them aren't radio friendly.
No, they're not. Where's the dump button? Unbelievable.
I think this is the...
The fact that they're on a tether around your neck, too. It looks like you have a pair of glasses that... Are
oh, like the old man's spectacles?
Yes. Yeah, that actually connect.
Oh no!
And they got the magnet in the middle, yes. So you put them on. Yeah, old principal glasses.
The sports equivalent of this is bringing a glove to a baseball game.
I disagree.
No, because this is a safety thing.
Yeah,
bringing a glove to a baseball game.
That's a fun thing. I suppose
that's a fun thing. Sure,
it could be safety.
Okay,
could be.
Yes. No, this would be like playing a football game today in a leather helmet. You want to sign up for damage? That's your business.
I didn't see you as... Your wife is a saint. She puts up with your cat. She puts up with...
She loves
with,
our cat.
Okay, well, she loves you. So therefore, yes. Translates to the cat.
Somehow I feel like that was meaner than anything you could have said that we would have had to dump. Your wife is a saint.
Yes.
248-539-9797. I saw that Dan Campbell was there. I don't know if you bumped into him.
No, he was in a private box. Yeah, I would imagine. Yes.
I'm sure he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I saw a lot of photos from people of all ages. John, is that's the other question I had.
That's the other thing you won't see from me is live video or because I wanted to take it in.
Yeah.
I went there with the idea that I'm going to the Masters. I'm going to leave my phone in my back pocket. I had it just in case. There was an emergency at home, which, thank you, Mom and Dad, Grandma, Grandpa. Great job with Teddy last night.
Good.
But no, I was not going to be taking videos. I wanted to experience it. I wanted to hear it through my own ears.
Oh, here it is.
See it through my own eyes.
Were there people of all ages? You had like...
Oh, yeah. There were people from...
Sons and daughters.
There was like 8, 9 years old all the way up to... 80 plus. I saw one dude in a wheelchair that looked like he was just, you know, like this was the last stand. And he didn't have earplugs.
Well, not literally. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he walked to his chair. Yeah, but there were people of all ages. The people watching was phenomenal. The amount of people that showed up wearing the shorts and the tie, the sport coat, some grown adults doing that, I thought it was hilarious. I think it's great when people buy in to and just sell it. Like they're going in to enjoy everything that this concert, this performance has. And that's the way it was last night.
Thunderstruck, the best song they played?
Hell's Bells was pretty cool too because they dropped down this gigantic AC/DC bell and it starts, you know, you got the gong and all that stuff. That was pretty awesome. Highway to Hell. That was a fan favorite, which, I mean, what's one of their giant hits?
But you said like the first 10 songs were all hits.
Oh, they were absolutely rocking it. It was high intensity, high energy for over 2 hours, and they never missed a beat. They never missed a thing. It was awesome.
I'm sure I'm getting made fun of on the ticket text. We don't need to read those.
Everybody put your earplugs in when Costa talks.
Anything to... Take me down a notch.
Far in you go.
Can we talk Javi here?
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm sorry. I've already screwed it up. Javier.
Yeah.
Because this is a different person, clearly. And we want to know from people. Is he winning you back? Winning you over? Do you suddenly have a favorable view of Javi Baez? He's sacrificing for the team. He'll play all over the diamond. He's hitting 300 now on the season. The at-bats, they're not insulting. He's still striking out quite a bit, but he's working the count, drawing a little more, he's hitting for a little more power. He's getting himself on base a little more. John, he winning you over?
Is he endearing himself to Tigers fans that just thought, this is over, can't believe the contract, can't believe we've said it here. He is consuming air that he shouldn't be consuming wearing a Tigers uniform.
Shouldn't be on the team.
Yet he's a major contributor in the fact that they've won 19 games now. Best record in the American League. Now the run differential, they're trailing only the mighty Yankees.
Who they beat 2 of 3 already.
Yeah. but he is, you mentioned the strikeout rate. The strikeout rate is always going to be there with him, the swing and miss.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only been since I haven't seen every single pitch, every single at bat, but the ones that I have seen, a majority of them, his chase rate is as good as it's been in a decade.
Yes.
And he is not swinging. I think there's one time in the Houston series where I could say, okay, yeah, he swung at one where they were set up. And the catchers, pitchers, they're all still baiting him. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, okay, Javi's going to return. This Javier guy, it's not going to last. And who knows how long it lasts. But he is the plate discipline, staying away from those pitches that are way outside, not swinging and missing. He is working the count. Strikeouts are still there. His walk rate is up. But the power is not what, and I don't think we ever see the power that he had prior to his life with the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, with the Cubs, the guy was hitting 20-plus home runs, had a 34 home run season. I don't think we're getting 30 home run power. But I don't even know
if we're getting double digits.
Maybe. I know this is his first.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to strike out when he joined the Tigers. But I thought we were getting power. I thought we were getting premium defense. I didn't realize every at-bat was going to be as rough as it was the last few seasons. We are seeing defensive flexibility. We are seeing better at-bats. We are seeing a contribution at the plate, even with the strikeouts. And at the end of the day, man, I just want the team to be good. Like, I'm not going to harbor the bad feelings. He still has a couple more years on his deal. This may go back. But for now, I'm enjoying Javier. Yeah. I have a positive view of Javier Bayce. We got ticket text 248-539-9797. The first batch are all making fun of me, but we want Javi Baez text. We'll read them all next, 97.1.
Hey, Detroit, it's finally time for baseball and, of course, getting back outside, and I've got your drink for the season. Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, made with real brewed tea with summer in mind. And they're a proud partner of the Detroit Tigers. Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and the best part, no bubbles. Their iced tea and lemonade variety packs are so good, and with no carbonation, they're just really easy to drink. Just look for Surfside Sunset Stripes. Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, sunshine in a can. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
You see, the Tigers are having some fun with this, too. They tweeted the Keegan-Michael Key.
Oh, yeah.
After Javier's grand slam yesterday for the Tigers.
They know they got a different guy this year.
Very clear. So, in addition to the hobby stuff, we have people reacting to earbuds, no earbuds at the concert. And I'm like, actually a little surprised here. It's not just people dumping on me. We got both sides. We'll start with the hobby stuff. Javi isn't the superstar the Tigers thought they were getting, but he's still good enough to be a role player for a championship run. Javier deserves a ton of credit. The entire fan base and the baseball world had written him off. He's never pouted or blamed anyone or anything for his struggles. It would have been easy to suck and collect his money. Instead, he must have worked his ass off in the offseason. I'm cheering for him as a Tiger and as a person.
I think that's kind of where... Is he entered the underdog status?
Can you be an underdog when you're the highest paid player on the team?
I mean, it's... If you can... A lot of people are removing that from the conversation when they talk about him, because
it's a sunk cost.
Well, yeah, because you just mentioned, as a role player, how can you be the highest paid player as a role player? Like, all of that stuff doesn't mix, but the production this year has been so much better than anything Tigers fans have experienced to this point.
This year and two more. The contract's not good. It's not going to change. It is what it is. He was a guy we didn't even want to roster. And now you're going, oh, he can play center, he can play short, he can play third, he can hold his own in the field. Yeah, I'm going to get a lot of strikeouts, but he's not chasing at as many ridiculous pitches. So at least to the eye, I'm not insulted. He does see more pitches, which is part of the philosophy of the team. And he's flirting with 300. And I don't think he's going to hit that for the season. But if you're producing,
yeah,
we got your back, dude. All we've wanted is to see you produce.
And how much does it change when, let's just say, Parker Meadows comes back? Because then he probably won't be playing much center field. Part of the endearment is he's made the sacrifice. I don't care what position it is, and he's actually looked pretty decent. I mean, he's not going to be an all-star in center field, but he's looked the part.
And he'll play less when Parker's here, so he'll play more against lefties. And maybe
Veerling.
Yeah, and you can help keep him in favorable matchups and from spiraling, because we know it's ugly when it spirals. Texter points out he's making up for torque returning to his usual self. Torque down to 241 right now.
Right. Well, I think we all understood that he wasn't going to continue to hit at 300.
You don't think he's going to be a 60 homer guy and hit 300 for the year?
I don't see 60 home runs. But he still does lead the Tigers in home runs.
And he's still pacing to have like a 40 home run season.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be strikeouts. There's going to be just times where he's not hitting.
He is settling into 2023 torque. I think that's what he's going to be. So
the second half of 2023?
Finish with 30 homers.
Around 30, 25 to 30 with a 230 average.
You know
more
what?
Than we expected, especially since you don't have a right-handed power bat.
It's not quite.
Bregman.
But you take it.
I didn't look at what he did yesterday, but the night before he was 3-for-5.
So yesterday he... Oh, Bregman. Oh, I just thought you were talking about torque.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Day off yesterday. He came in as a pinch hitter.
Couple texts on the concert experience. If it's too loud, you're too old.
Yep.
Tow truck Mike. Mm-hmm. John, you're working with a bunch of old people.
I've just come to realize that. I'm actually maybe the youngest at heart here.
Certainly have a juvenile sense of humor.
Well, so yeah, that's never been in question.
Can someone explain to John that you can hear the music just fine with the earplugs? John, you have to wear them. Quit being a jabroni. Take care of your ears. As a 44-year-old individual, I love loud music, but I hate when my ears ring for days after concerts. Nothing wrong with the earplugs to protect yourself.
Weh.
John, I've been going to rock concerts for over 40 years. I've always worn earplugs. Wait until you have to spend thousands on hearing aids sooner than you realize. I love my hearing. Tony in Dearborn.
And you know what? I love my experiences. Yeah, thank you, Greg. I love my experiences. And you know what? If some of them lead to health issues down the road, then so be it. When I get to hit the grave, I want to be all broken and battered, knowing that I lived my life and enjoyed every single minute.
So super, super quick, you said MCDC was there last night. So Jason at WMC was there last night, and he was pretty close to Dan Campbell. He said Dan was rocking out the whole time, like just like any other average Joe, taking videos, doing all this stuff. I mean, what else would you expect, right?
Yeah. Of course. That's who he is.
Oh, that's absolutely who he is.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, I want to start with this. Did you guys see or hear what happened at the Pirates and Cubs game? Oh, my gosh, at PNC Park last night. I woke up to this news, and I had to just – I laid in bed just reading this. I'm like, what happened? Because it's something you never see happen at a game. A fan fell more than 20 feet onto the field from the right field bleachers. It happened in the seventh inning of the game. The fan, who like appeared to be sitting right in the first row, fell from his seat onto the warning track. The game clearly was paused while medical personnel ran to help this guy. The players all took a knee. They were standing in shock if they were like during the gameplay. There was another fan who also jumped down onto the field to try to help this guy. He was carted off, and according to Pittsburgh Public Safety, the fan is in critical condition.
I would imagine so, because it looked like he landed on his head.
Oh my God!
I don't understand, and the video is hard to watch. It's absolutely hard to watch, but from the angle that you see, it looks like he's sitting down, and then somebody hits the eject button, and he.
And just
launches over the rail, flips a couple of times, and then hits the ground. Like, I don't understand how he fell.
It looks like he wanted to jump, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's not a short fall. I mean, the guy's in critical condition.
No, and there was no play over there. It wasn't like he was trying to catch a home run ball.
Yeah. Right.
There's a rail there. He has to vault over the rail.
It's
scary stuff.
Crazy. So, of course, everything is still under investigation, and everyone is hoping that this guy pulls through and makes a full recovery. The NFL has handed out fines following the Shedeur Sanders prank call. So the Atlanta Falcons were fined $250,000, and defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich was fined $100,000, right? So some hefty fines there. Yeah, seriously, right? So the Falcons confirmed the punishment in a statement saying that the Ulbrich family is working with the team. They're going to participate in some community service initiatives as part of the fallout as well from this prank call. And they are confident, they said, in their security policies and practices, and they're going to continue to emphasize that everyone adhere to them, whether they're on or off the premise. Of course, Jeff Ulbrich also apologized on Wednesday, saying that he and his son, Jax, who, of course, is responsible for the call, will take full responsibility, and they're not going to appeal the fine, and they're going to work hard to prove that they're better than that.
I can't imagine that. I just, the $100,000, I mean, what do you, as a kid, what do you say to your dad? As a dad, I mean, you obviously you lose it, but what do you, I mean, what do you even say at that point?
Start working. It starts now. You can make small payments at a time, but let's go. I don't know. It's crazy, though. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. A toddler was seriously injured on Wednesday morning after being mauled by a pit bull at a mobile home park in Taylor. What a tragic story. Police say the mother and her three-year-old were outside when this dog attacked. Apparently, this little girl kind of wandered away from her mom, who was doing yard work, ended up in a neighbor's yard and was trying to go pet a different dog when this pit bull broke out of its home and attacked. Several neighbors jumped into action, tried to pull this dog off, but couldn't. There was one man who used his tablet to start beating the dog over the head. Eventually, this little girl was saved. She is expected to survive, but she will need reconstructive surgery. The dog was taken away by animal control. So tragic.
Unbelievable.
A not so tragic, this story. Best friends who were heading home from a trip to the UP stopped to buy a drink, and they ended up winning $2 million.
Wow.
On a scratch-off lottery ticket. Apparently, this is something these guys do. They always stop for lottery tickets on their way up and on their way home from the UP. And this time, the friend who scratched off said he felt like he was having a heart attack when he realized how much money he had just won. So they have already claimed their prize. They opted for the big one-time lump sum payout of $1.3 million. They say they plan to use the money to take a trip to Florida, pay bills, and live debt-free. So
good for them.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Finally, several Michigan cities broke or tied some very long-standing temperature records on Tuesday. So Detroit, Alpena, and Flint all experienced record heat, according to the National Weather Service. So in Detroit, we set a new record of 86 degrees, breaking the old record of 83 degrees that was set back in 1899. So it got very warm on Tuesday. In Flint, the previous record was surpassed by 2 degrees. So highs on Tuesday reached 84 degrees, broke the 82 record set in 1942. And then in Alpena, temperatures hit 80, and they tied the record from 1941, 1957, and 2004.
Jim, did you take off the earbuds and put on the mister around your neck? The fan, so that you could stay cool?
No, but can we not be in too big of a hurry to get the summer weather? I like spring weather. Yesterday was great.
It's supposed to be really hot. That's what, remember? What the old farmer's almanac says? We're going to experience some very hot weather this year.
The best two seasons in Michigan are spring and fall. And
they're very small.
Yeah, they're here and then they're gone.
Yes, they are.
It's Heather with the news. It's 97.1.
Hey, you guys. Heather Park here.
The 1-1. Fly ball, right field. Whoa, way back and gone. Colt Keith launches to right. His first of the year was a monster shot. Tigers take a 2-1 lead in the second.
Needed that one. Colt Keith goes yard. Javi hits a grand slam, and the Tigers pick up a win in their final game in Houston. They play tonight, late night game against the Angels. Tigers play tonight as well. We'll get to it 7:02. It's game 6. It's in Detroit.
It's going to be it's a great time to be a Detroit sports fan. And the Pistons are making it even more fun. Another stave opportunity.
Stave season, people. All right, we got Dear John at 7:35. We've got the two Grand Slam at 7:25. We have a lot to talk about today, and most shows will feature talk about the Detroit Lions. John, we are in a position now where we can take a look at where they stand in the NFL. And it's one way to do it is look at win totals.
Mm-hmm.
Not the only way. It's one way to do it is to look at win totals. And as we sit today, the Lions' win total is set at 10.5. It's noteworthy because it's lower than the Bills, Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs, who are all set at 11.5 wins. Those same four teams all have better odds to win the Super Bowl than the Detroit Lions. So it's not just about the regular season schedule. The belief from the book is that the Lions are not on the same level as the Bills, Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs. Do you agree with that assessment?
I think they're on the same level. I really do. I don't think that there is anything that those teams have done in terms of adding or detractions from their rosters that put them head and shoulders above where the Lions are. And if the win total, it's really hard to predict the win totals right now when you don't know when, you know where, and you know who.
2 weeks we'll know all of it.
Yeah, but you don't know when you're going to play those. And I think that does matter. And we have no idea if there's going to be injuries. We don't know if there's going to be injuries for those other teams as well. So I think they're on the same tier as those teams. Now, they may be taking into account, and I haven't taken a look at Buffalo or Baltimore's schedule or Philly's schedule. They're all going to be playing first-place schedule, so they'll be similar.
Right, but I said also Super Bowl odds, they're all better than the Lions,
right,
which says, hey, whether the schedule's tough, they think they're going to win an extra game. They also think they have a better chance to win the whole thing than the Lions. So I don't know if it's something or nothing. If people look at this and say, no big deal, or maybe they see it, hey, we have taken a step back, or we're not on the same tier as the Bills, Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs, a clear-cut top four teams in the NFL.
So the only two teams in there, in that top four, that have won a Super Bowl
Eagles are and Chiefs.
Eagles and Chiefs.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to say, just by default, by experience, by the general manager and how they construct their roster and coaches and experience, all of that stuff, you could say Kansas City and Philly. But there's nothing that I would say Baltimore has done to convince me that they're a better team, a win more than what the Lions are. Because you're talking about, I think, kind of similar conferences, because Baltimore, I think Pittsburgh, they're always going to be, I don't know that they take a huge
thorn, but they're not.
They're not a threat. Cincinnati, I think, is the quiet sleeper,
of course,
of that bunch. And Cleveland, it's Cleveland. Defensively, they'll be solid. Offensively, as long as they can stay away from the pick six gods. But it's. I think the part of the reason is the Lions are, I think people are identifying, even though the Vikings and the Lions were out in the first round last year, people are identifying that this is maybe the toughest division in football.
See, but I don't think it's that at all, because I think you could make the case, like the Chiefs, they play in a division where there's a couple Super Bowl winning head coaches in that division, right? Jim Harbaugh is the one who doesn't, and everybody views them as a real pain.
Yeah, and Denver, I think Denver outperformed themselves a little bit last year. I don't know, now that you've got a year on their offense operated by Bo Nix, I think there'll be some adjustments by defenses that face
maybe
Denver. But the Raiders, all right, the bottom of the division, the Raiders, do you think they are as good or better than or worse than the Chicago Bears?
They're worse than the Chicago Bears.
Okay, yeah. So but already you're playing the Chicago Bears twice. Those teams are going to be playing the Raiders twice. And the Chargers, what do you believe about Justin Herbert? At times he plays elite. Other times, just like we saw with Jared Goff in the playoffs and in big games, where is he?
Okay, but that may be where they're going with this, because I don't think it's as much about the division as it might be that those four teams have quarterbacks that people believe in more.
Oh, you're back to hating on Goff.
No. I'm looking for an explanation here. I'm trying to find an explanation here. I'll just give you my opinion. I think the Lions are on the same tier. My big gripe has been this offseason that I don't think they've done enough to ascend to Super Bowl favorites.
Right.
I view the Lions as a Super Bowl contender with the Bills, Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs. But if I'm trying to figure out why they are seen as a step behind, could it be that Allen and Hurts and Mahomes and Lamar are seen as better quarterbacks? Could it be that Detroit's lost both coordinators? I find it hard to believe that the Lions are going to go from 15 wins to 10. They're going to lose five more football. I mean, maybe one or two more.
Yeah.
Maybe three or four more. Five more losses. No, I think they're very much in this 11-12 win club of the Bills, Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs for the upcoming season. I'm not hitting a panic button. I'm not doing that. They're going to fall back to 9 or 10 wins. But I do wonder why it's being priced that way. Why
I'm curious,
set that way.
Do you have all of them? I know that a lot of the articles we read only had, you know, the top tier because they were comparing them to...
I can give you as many
how
as
about Washington?
You want. I'll get that for you in a second. The Niners are also at 10.5, the same as the Lions, which I thought was odd as well.
I don't know why people are back on the Niners bandwagon. I think last year was... should have been an eye opener. Now, some of it was injury, some of it was off the field stuff, and you know, I all the best for Trent and his family. Hope that they're able to find a path forward, mental health wise.
Yes,
after losing a baby, but I don't understand because they've lost so much talent offensively through trades and through, you know, salary dump that. Everybody says, well, they're going to be contending. Maybe it's this division. But you got the Rams in that division. Arizona beefed up defensively. But it's Kyler Murray. I'm just curious.
I've got it in front of me.
Okay, you got Washington in front of you?
Washington's 9.5. Rams are 9.5.
If we're going the quarterback route, wouldn't you anticipate that Washington, because they're going to play the Giants twice. They're going to play Dallas twice. I don't think anybody respects either of those teams or franchises. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they have to play the Eagles twice. But... they're going to be playing a first-place schedule. And what was the conversation about Jaden Daniels after the season? Oh, they've hit the lottery. They've beefed up every part of their offense.
Yeah, and now they've added to the offensive line.
And they're saying 9.5?
So there's a stat out there, like the NFC East, nobody repeats. There's always a new... they're going to be very trendy for the upcoming season. I think they will be a team people say could win... their division this year just because of the way that goes in the NFC East.
How can they if the Eagles are at 11.5?
Well, right.
They're only at 9.5. They're two games worse than the Eagles.
Yeah, well.
So that's why I'm looking at all these numbers going, you know, this doesn't make sense to me. And I understand Jared Goff's performance in the postseason, but you have to take into account his performance in the postseason last year.
Where they won two playoff games and he had them right in the third. It wasn't his fault.
Yes. Now, there's a lot of reasons why they lost to Washington.
And if you're going to ding Goff for not being a playoff performer based on last year, I get it. But I'm not propping up Lamar as a playoff performer, right? I'm not going to prop up... gosh, I don't know what to do with Josh Allen. Like,
I know.
You know, like he's not Lamar level bad in the playoffs, but he also hasn't gotten over the hump either.
And been to a Super Bowl.
What do you guys make of this? Is it as easy? The explanation is Detroit's not on the same level as the Big Four. I would tell you it's a Big Five, but impartially, the markets are telling us that the Lions are not on the same tier. Why is that? It's 97.1.
Hey, it's Heather, and if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's Verizon's best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead, take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
We'll get into the Pistons at 7:02. Massive game tonight. LCA Game 6 stave season continues. Two grand slam in the 7 o'clock hour. Dear John, under an hour away. Brought up the Lions. 2 weeks out from the schedule release. Mm-hmm. We know who they play. We just don't know when they play them. And if you look at the books right now, they're giving you a pretty emphatic statement about the Lions and where they stand. They do not view the Lions as being on the same level of the Bills, Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs. There's a big four. Their win totals are 11.5. The Lions are 10.5. Why? Lions won 15 games last year, and everybody says they're going to be healthy this year, and there's really nothing to worry about. Why are they not seen on the same level as the big four? And that's not just regular season. If you look at Super Bowl odds, all four of those teams have better odds to win the Super Bowl. We could ask it another way. If you're a Lions fan, why haven't you bet this? Because if Lions fans were flooding the market, the risk assessment team
would raise that up to 11.5.
So this tells me the market, which includes Lions fans, are cooling a little bit on this upcoming season.
Yeah, Lions fans flooded that market last year. We took so many calls in the offseason about, I got this odds, I got that odds, I got this odds. This is good value if you think they're an equal.
10-1 to win the Super Bowl. Can they win 11 games? I mean, they won 15 a year ago. You would think a no-brainer, right?
So 10-1, if you put down 10 bucks, you win 100.
Yes. Put 100, you win 1,000.
Double-digit odds are good value, right, Jim? You know this more than
yeah.
I do. I mean, so... No. Lions fans, you're not moving the market
the way they have in years past. Because
right.
This fan base has moved lines.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it has to do with history. And it's all about prove it. All right, the year before, in 23, you win the division, but you make it to the NFC Championship game. You lose. The next year. Can you get back to or better what you did the year before? Can you prove that wasn't a one-off? And during the regular season, they were proving all of that. And they were actually defying the odds because of the number of injuries. They kept winning until they played the Buffalo Bills, and then they returned to winning even with those injuries. Now, having said all that, they lose in the opening round or their opening round of the playoffs. I think there's a lot of people that are looking at it going, I don't think they can do that again, the 15-2. And I think there's a lot of people are looking at the division and saying, okay, I know Minnesota, quarterback change, it's Kevin O'Connell, and it's a beefed up offensive line. All of the different things that we've analyzed all of these rosters, free agency, draft, and now we're post-draft. And it's roster acquisition is pretty much over. So we are analyzing all of these things. Green Bay, that's where I don't know that Green Bay is that much better. Chicago, I think they're going to be better than a 5-12 team. They'll be a bigger threat. I don't think they're a threat to win the division, but you're going to have to play them twice.
But I think you're looking at this wrong. You're looking at the teams in the division that could drag them down. I think the league is making a comparison, not down, but a comparison to the teams above them. They don't feel like, for whatever football reason, they're not on the level. And one guy says it's Jared. We brought up quarterback. Look, the head-to-head with the Bills, this guy says they're definitely not on the same level as the Bills. They shouldn't have the same win total or the same Super Bowl odds. The Bills came in here and proved that.
I think the difference is the play callers on both sides of the ball.
Okay.
Because we saw it with the Eagles, where they lose both coordinators, take a little bit of a step back. Now, they started hot that season, but they took a step back. It didn't finish strong. And we like to blame that all on Matt Patricia. But that was a step back, having lost both coordinators. I think that's a large part of this, is the fact that they're going to have two different play callers on both sides of the ball.
It's lower because we lost both coordinators. The unknown brings it down, from an unnamed texter. But how about these texts all in a row? It's the quarterback. All four teams have the better quarterback. The other four teams' quarterbacks are perennial MVP candidates. It's the quarterback.
Okay, so Goff was an MVP candidate for quite a while last year. In fact, he was actually at the award show as one of the finalists for the MVP award, along with Saquon Barkley, along with Josh Allen, along with Lamar Jackson. And so, but it goes to, can you do it again? I don't know that he ever wins an MVP, but can he be a perennial MVP candidate?
Start with some of you guys. Alex in Ann Arbor, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning.
Morning. So I think the Lions are in that same group, and you use the stat on the NFC East. Also, I think there's another stat out there that I think the past 15 Super Bowl winners, all except one, have preseason odds of plus 100 or shorter. So I think they fit that category, and I would say they're priced at 10.5 because the floor of the other teams in the division is so high. They don't get to play a Browns, a Jets, a Patriots, a Raiders, or a Cowboys or a Giants. I think they're saying the odds of the Lions going 3-3 in the division is much higher than the other teams because they don't get to play a trash can twice.
And how does that get reflected in the Super Bowl odds, though? Because they may not have home field? Is that maybe part of that?
Might be. Maybe they're not the one seed. I would still expect them to win the division, but as we saw, 15 wins in a one seed doesn't guarantee you anything. So they're going to be a playoff team, assuming Goff is healthy.
Correct.
And it just comes down to executing in January. So
we've reached that stage of this, Alex, where wake us up in January.
Yeah, I mean, we have, but we haven't reached the we're spoiled category yet.
Oh, no.
Because we haven't won the Super Bowl. We haven't been to a Super Bowl. And I think people were overwhelmingly excited about a 15-2 season. And I think overwhelmingly don't believe that they're going to win 15 games again this year. Doesn't mean they're not going to be a better team. Just because your record is 14-3 doesn't mean that you might not be a better team than the 15-2 team a year ago.
And that'll be judged by what they do
in the postseason.
In January, yeah. George in Metamora. George, good morning.
I'd rather say February.
Yeah, hey,
February
gentlemen, too. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. Hey, I guess what I would ask, and I'm not trying to be negative on this fine Thursday here, but what did they do to convince you that they are in the tier with those other four teams? I mean, I've seen an offseason so far where, you know, it's not the quarterback play. I think Goff's just fine. I mean, like, defensively, though, Lee McNeil's going to be out to Thanksgiving probably. So you got a rookie in there, which I'm not bashing the pick, but it's like he's not going to pick up there. You got Hutchinson coming back from injury. They're, defensively, I think that's the liability. I think that's been the liability the last 2 years, and I don't see that that's been addressed. Why do we think Davenport's going to be healthy this year? So I think when you're looking at those other four teams, I think defensively, and I think you could probably throw Washington and the Rams in there as well. I don't think we could keep up defensively. I think when you get to the playoff times, I'm scared of that. I just think defensively, we haven't improved at all.
George, by playoff time, McNeil should be playing, and he should have a couple months under his belt.
But you're also talking about by playoff time, it's not like he's had a whole full season under him.
Fair.
If you're coming back at the end of November, he's got a month to ramp up. I don't see where they've made these strides defensively to be in the tier with the Eagles or maybe even the Redskins or something like that, let alone the Bills or the Baltimore Ravens. I think that's been the crutch the last couple of years. I'm not concerned about Goff in the offense. I'm concerned about the defense. I just don't think we address it. And I think Holmes just continues to like, hey, let's put Band-Aids on it and see what it works.
If they are half as healthy as they were last year, do you think that there'll be a better he's gone. Are they going to be a better defense than they were last year?
I don't know.
Well, okay. Yeah, I don't know. But if we get, say, Hutch is healthy for 17 games, do you think that they're a better defense than they were last year?
You want me to say yes?
I don't know either because I'm not living in next
well, John,
in 2026 February.
So I'll let you know in February.
Well, okay, let's switch hats here. What we do is all speculation.
Know,
that's
John,
sports
John.
Radio.
That was great. All right, we'll keep this conversation flowing.
How did we change seats?
That was very weird, bizarro. We'll get the Pistons in the mix as well. Dustin with the update here.